You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 29th of October, 2023. And, you know I always say this, but it seems strange that I haven't done radio for so long. I do all the interviews on Rumble now. So once a month when I come here and I jump on radio, it seems kind of strange. But there you go. It is what it is. It just everything seems to be going off the Rumble. I'll be talking about that later. But for now, good evening. Hi, everybody logging into the chat room there. Great to see it. Right, okay. On the show tonight, I have a pre-record with Richard Vobes. Now, I'm sure you've all know who Richard is. I'm sure you've seen him on YouTube and Rumble. And I've done a few interviews with Richard. Now, the latest interview I did with Richard, what we did was, instead of me going on to Richard's YouTube channel and Richard interviewing me, what I said to Richard was, I tell you what we'll do. I'll go on your YouTube channel, but I'll interview you on your YouTube channel. And he went, well, that's a great idea. That's a kind of novel approach to, you know, doing things. So basically, that's what we did. And we did an interview, and I interviewed Richard on his channel. And it was very nice of him, because the title he put on the YouTube video was A Chat With My Mentor. And I was very humbled by that, for him saying that. So you'll hear the interview shortly anyway. But also, happy bank holiday to everybody. It's the bank holiday over here in Ireland. So most people probably won't be working tomorrow morning, so you can have a lie on, have a few beers and all that kind of stuff. And the other thing is that lastminute.com, but I asked Lisa from Cry Freedom Radio if she didn't mind coming on after the pre-record and we can have a bit of a chat. And Lisa agreed, and so that's great. Thanks to Lisa for doing that. So after the pre-record, I'll be bringing Lisa in, and we'll probably have the chinwag about everything that's going on and what's happening there. But before we crack on and we talk about all the other bits and pieces, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Now, just based on the communication channels, that phone line is now unavailable. It's gone. I don't have that phone line anymore, so you can't ring it. The best way to contact me, in all honesty, is through email. That's the best way. If you're not on Facebook and you're not on Rumble, true email is the best way to get in touch with me, and that's contactus@circleofwhitelight.com. Now, also, obviously, you know I've moved over to Rumble, and I'm doing loads of videos on Rumble. I have more interviews this week to do. They're going to be going up there, and that seems to be getting loads of traction on Rumble, which is brilliant, and I'll be talking about that later on in a few minutes. So, just to touch base on a few things. Oh, by the way, obviously, still go to the website now. I'll be talking about website stuff as well later on. So I'll touch base on that later. So I just kind of made a few notes about a couple of things, and I said I don't watch RTÉ and I don't listen to any Irish news, so I could not tell you what is going on, although I did see something in Grip Media. The Grip Media have a website, and they do kind of Irish news, alternative Irish news, about Healy Ray, who's a politician over here in Ireland. And the article was saying about, it's saying Michael Healy Ray's profitable Ukrainian accommodation deal, $160,000. That's what Michael Healy Ray was in line to receive last year from the Irish government in return for providing accommodation to Ukrainian refugees in one of his properties in Tralee. Can the people of Kerry trust that Deputy Healy Ray can be objective and vote in their interests in relation to the issue of immigration and Ukrainian refugees in general when he personally has such a significant financial stake in the debate? See, there you go, folks. Double standards, hypocrisy. What's in it for me? I'm okay, Jack, sod everybody else. This is why we have parasites in the Irish government. And I'm being really honest when I say that. That's my own opinion. We have parasites and we have politicians. And many of them politicians in our Dáil have teenage minds and adult minds and are just in it for themselves. Just service to self. You know, they fix a few potholes because they have to do that to make it look like they're doing something. But they're not doing anything at all. If you look at the likes of Andrew Bridgen in the UK, who stood up in the UK Parliament and exposed a lot of the COVID stuff that was going on, and a few other politicians like Esther McVeigh, she also talked about stuff as well. We have no party politicians over here in Ireland. All they have is a yellow stripe down their back. And they're just afraid to step forward and actually mention anything about COVID and what's going on. I mean, there's one or two independent politicians apparently that have spoken out and they get sneered at or laughed at by Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin. I mean, you know, Tweedledum and Tweedledee. So we need to have proper people in there, proper politicians, proper people representing the Irish people who will stand for the Irish people and do the best for the Irish people. Not these parasites. I call it parasite politics. Not these parasites in the Dáil who are just taking care of themselves, in all honesty. It's just, I'm very strong about that now. I'm just seeing more and more people getting abused and more politicians just not giving a damn and just pleasing themselves. It's just, it's getting beyond a joke. I hope there's something nice coming down the line, fingers crossed. We'll see what happens anyway. Right, so my week. Last week I had a spiritual Akashic record reading, and the information that came through, I feel it's not just for me but for everybody. And this was with Leah Ray. Leah Ray was kind enough to give me a reading and I did an interview with Leah on my Rumble channel. They mentioned the spirit, you know, the spirit or the Akashic records mentioned manifesting and said that I need to be in a location or area that purely has my own energy. In my case, that's my shed. That's my go-to place. That's where I work from and do all my bits and pieces in my shed. So they put they talked about sacred geometry and they put this kind of sacred geometry shape apparently around my shed. And this was for amplifying my manifestations while I'm in there. So if I'm in the shed and I'm focusing on manifestation, apparently it will amplify it because that shed has my energy. So I feel that this applies to everybody. So everybody who's listening to this show, you must have a place that you call your own, that you have your own energy. So when you're doing your manifesting, try and be in that energy, try and be in that space to do your manifesting rather than in a space where you're with everybody else and you have mixed energy, you know? I have sacred geometry shapes. I had to print out and I have them here in the studio and I have them out in my shed. Now, I don't know much about sacred geometry. I know very little about it, okay? And I was just wondering, well, I can see a printout of sacred geometry sticking up what it's going to do for me, to be honest with you. Now, that's just maybe my ignorance because I don't know much about it. So it just so happens that, talk about synchronicity, a chap got in touch with me about doing interviews and he's in the UK. His name is Ocean. And he says, I know about sacred geometry. And I said, fantastic. Let's do an interview and let's have a chat about it. So I've arranged to have do an interview with Ocean on Wednesday next week. And that will be up on the Rumble channel. And we're going to get into sacred geometry. And I'll be saying to him, if I print out sacred geometry and I stick it up on, you know, so I can see it. And the same in the shed. I can't see how that's going to benefit me. But maybe, as I say, I don't know enough about it. So it's probably based down on my ignorance. So we'll see how it goes and we'll do an interview and chat about it. So if you don't know about sacred geometry, after I do the interview, go over to the Rumble channel. It might be there. The other thing is I want to talk about is the website. Now, obviously, the Circular White Light website is now a few years old and I set it up in 2019. So it's 4 years old, really, and it's time for an update. So because I'm doing a lot of changes here, the studio is going to be changing, and the radio show, unfortunately, the live radio show is going to have to probably be finished up around Christmas time because all this equipment has to come out and has to be turned back into the room that it should be. But I'm speaking to Lisa and we're going to be doing some testing regarding live Rumble. So how would people feel about live video Rumble on Sunday evening? Every now and again, not all the time, but every now and again. So that might be a possibility. And we'll see how we go with that. Okay. But the website needs to be updated and I need to get my head around doing that. I'm currently doing a lot of studying as I have exams coming up and IT exams and stuff like that. So it's all busy. And the other thing I'll just say is that I'm nearly at 1,000 subscribers on Rumble, which is fantastic because YouTube, if I was on YouTube, I know the numbers would be there and everybody seems to default go to YouTube and they don't go to Rumble. Okay. So having nearly 1,000 subscribers to me, I think is fantastic. So if you haven't subscribed, please pop off to Rumble and just subscribe and let's try and get over the 1,000 subscribers. That would be great for Rumble. That would be fantastic to do that. And I'll do a video about it as well. When we hit that magic number, that would be fantastic. And we'll see how we get on. Okay, so before I play the pre-record, I just want to let people know who Richard Vobes is for, just in case you don't know who Richard is. Richard Vobes is an entertainer, podcaster and filmmaker, having made television programs since the 1990s, corporate videos for business clients and running an award-winning podcast in the mid-2000s. He's not an expert on anything, but has a passion for England, his land of birth. He has been appalled by the treatment of the government and global organisations on the population and spends most of his days moaning about it on YouTube. He does some excellent videos, I have to say, and he really gets to the knuckle of what's going on. And he's growing from strength to strength. He's really doing a great job. And it was great having a chat with Richard. So here's the pre-record. I hope you enjoy it. And then I'll see you on the far side with Lisa.
Hello and welcome back to the channel. Thank you for joining me in another of my wonderful interviews. Today, we're doing something slightly different. I have a wonderful guest who's been on the show in the early days and offered me some amazing advice on how to venture into the various rabbit holes that we have been exploring and to think about and how to perhaps absorb a lot of the information that one gets. And one of the best bits of advice that he told me is as you go down and you're presented with stuff is to entertain everything. Don't dismiss stuff. And in the past, I may have been a little more egotistical and thought that I was right. No, don't worry, that's a load of old rubbish. Why would you ever want any of that? And I thought about what he said, and in this journey, I have done exactly that. And it's been a peculiar journey with lots of fascinating people, and I feel absolutely humble and privileged to have spoken to all of them. So I owe a lot to Alan James from the Circle of White Radio. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Richard. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Now, before we get onto the thing that we're going to do, just tell everybody what the Circle of White... There we are. There you go. What is the Circle of White Radio?
Okay. Well, basically, very quickly, my journey started in 2001. And in 2010, I decided to set up a radio show with a co-host of mine called Steve. And the radio show was called Open Your Mind Radio because we wanted people to open their mind and take another look. And after running that for 9 years every week, we took a break. We said we'd take a sabbatical and we would take a break. And so Steve went off and did his own project. I went and started Circle of White Light Radio because I wanted to look for solutions. Everybody knew what the problems were. And, you know, talking about the problems wasn't really good from an energetic point of view. So I wanted to set up a radio show that actually talked about solutions. And that's what I did with Circle of White Light. And now Circle of White Light has kind of moved over to Rumble. So reluctantly, I kicking and screaming, I started doing video interviews. And now that's kind of taken off really well, which is great. And so I've been around the block a long time. And like everybody learning about the what's going on in the world and going down the rabbit holes, I did everything everybody else did. You know, you wake up and find out what's going on and you present the information to your friends and family and they call you a nutter, they call you a conspiracy theorist. So as I have kind of a background in psychology, I took another look basically at how I needed to approach this subject differently to wake people up. So I started applying psychology and that really opened the gates to everything. And part of the information that I gave you on your journey when you started was all based on psychology. So that's really where I started.
Well, Alan, it has been fascinating to go on this journey, and I have taken on board some of those psychological lessons that you related to me, and there was no pressure from you for me to do it, but you are a sensible man, you've lived around and you've seen things and experienced things, and I have taken that on board, at least I hope so. Well, you could be the one. I mean, you've been watching my journey over the last 10 months. So what do you think?
Well, fantastic. I mean, when you started off as a nipper back 10 months ago, tongue in cheek with that, obviously. But when you started off on your journey, you know, it's strange that you probably got this email from this Irish chap and you say, "Is this Irish chap email me and ask me for a conversation?" But when I seen the video that you did after Neil Oliver did his talk, I could see that you were ready for information, that you were pretty much open-minded. And you'd actually, you know, take it on board and you'd analyze it and look at it. And you wouldn't just take it for what I'm just saying, you know, for face value. You'd actually look into it. So I sent you an email and I thought this chap would be open to some information. But I can see that he's going to be going on a journey and we've all been on this journey and there's going to be milestones on that journey that you're going to hit. So if he doesn't mind, I'll give him a few tips on that journey to help him on his way so he doesn't fall down the rabbit hole too much on the things that I fell down and things I came across. And that's really all I did was really contact you and fair play to you. You came back to me and we hooked up. We had a Zoom call and I sent you some information and then the floodgates opened, I think. And as I said to you before we went live, your journey over the 10 months took me about 10 years to do. So that's phenomenal. So you have really had a very condensed journey in them 10 months. And obviously you're very prolific with your videos and everything else, which is brilliant. But so there you go. So I appreciate you being open-minded to get back to me so we could have that conversation. And for me to give you information, now you can confirm this because I said it in most of the emails I sent you. Don't believe anything I say. Check it out yourself.
Yes, you did say that. And as much as I can, you know, sometimes the biggest thing that I've found is that I just haven't had a lot of time to go wandering off checking everything. And I think one of the criticisms that I occasionally see in the comments when I have a guest that is perhaps a little difficult for many people to understand is they think that I haven't, you know, that I should have done some a better research on who they were and the sort of thing they were going to present. And yet, for me, I've learnt very quickly that the interview part of my channel as separate from the monologues, which is very much my opinion. The interview is very much giving a platform to people who perhaps can't always find another platform, doesn't always get a voice, or if they do, it's not for me to challenge them. I just let them say their piece. And it's really for the audience to make their mind up. If they didn't like it, they didn't understand it, well, okay, maybe the next one is for you. So I've tried to treat every guest with as much respect and let them say what they wanted to say.
Totally. Well, I could see that you had the natural ability and charisma on camera to put this information across. Yeah, I definitely you have that. I think everybody will agree with me who's watching this will say the same thing. You're doing a fantastic job. And you're critical as well with the information. And that's very important. You know, it's what resonates with the audience. And I've said that on my own show. You know, it's not for me to give my opinion. It's really for the audience to see what resonates with them. And with your journey, as I always say to people, everybody's on a path of knowledge. Some people are further down the road than others. You know, you woke up or you had your journey started 10 months ago. Now, there's somebody that just started to wake up 10 weeks ago. Somebody else just woke up 10 days ago. Okay? So they're at different levels in their knowledge. And the one thing that you should always do is only give people information to the level they're awake at. Now, when I contacted you, and we got talking. I mean, I know recently you were talking about certain subjects, quite advanced subjects, things that fly around in the sky. Okay. And you were talking about it. Now, had I given you that information at the start of your journey, you would have thought I was a nutcase and that was madness. So you have to take it bit by bit and go through each milestone. And as you wake up and you examine the information, then you move on to the next milestone. So what I was hopefully doing and helping you is that every time I've seen you come to a milestone, I'd send you an email and give you some information on that.
And well, you did. And one thing I wanted to say is right early on, you asked me, do I believe in time travel? And I was thinking, what does he mean by that? Is he being serious? Are you really? And then because you introduced the subject in very simple terms, and I could sort of follow, and I had to go away and think about that to understand how everything is all, everything's either happened or it's happening or it's all in the one time. Time and space, you know, do or don't exist. And I had to sort of get my head around that. And it's something I'm still getting my head around, but I'm a lot further down the understanding of that than I was right at the beginning. But your biggest advice, as I said at the beginning, was entertain everything, because the minute you say, no, that's rubbish, you may have dismissed something radically important.
Definitely.
And, yeah.
And this is why today we're switching the tables, because I'm going to interview you on your show and we're going to talk about your journey. But you're correct, because like everybody, when you wake up, you give people the evidence, you know, about certain things in the sky and certain chemicals in the sky and all that kind of stuff. And your family think you're a conspiracy theorist. So me going back to the drawing board and applying psychology, the two things that I said to you at the very start was the quote from Aristotle, which is the mark of an educated mind is to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. For most people, it's either true or it's not true. Black and white. But there's a grey area there, which is to entertain. And by entertaining everything, you're parking your ego and you're challenging all your belief systems. The second thing was a black and white interview I seen with Bruce Lee, when Bruce Lee said that if you're in a street fight, there's no point you doing stiff martial art movements, because you have to be fluid, because you don't know what the guy's going to do.
Right.
And I said, well, surely your belief systems, all our belief systems have to be fluid. And, you know, what you know today might change tomorrow with new information coming in that challenges what you know that you learned yesterday. Okay, so as long as you have a fluid belief system, your ego is packed away and you're open to everything. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole process of interviews on this on my own channel and everything else. But them two things were the two key things I said to you at the start. So we're not going to argue over the content, which is the moon made of cheese? It doesn't matter. You'll argue all night over the content. You will look at the psychology. You look at how the mind works. You look at the societal programming of people shut down. When you give them something that challenges their belief system. And trust me, only a few weeks ago, a person I know, I actually gave them something that challenges their belief system. And my God, did I learn an awful lot from that individual of how their mind works. Okay, so that's basically the core of the information that I give you on your journey, just to entertain. I said, Richard, if you just entertain the information, but obviously ask for facts and evidence. It doesn't mean that you're going to believe it. You're just going to entertain it and just let the information come in and then ask for the facts and the evidence. And that's what you did. And you've been doing a great job since then.
Well, thank you very much. So as you so rightly said, you're going to be interviewing me and asking me questions for a change at this seminal moment. But before you do, and you asked if the moon is made of cheese, I'd just like to point out if it is made of cheese, it's obviously blue cheese because you get that lovely blue light from the moon.
I know anyway. I know you like cheese. Okay, so we're going to switch roles now. I'm going to do the interviewing. Okay. So over the 10-month period that you've woken up, obviously, just tell us your initial feelings from over the 10-month period to think back to when it first started to now and your journey over the 10 months with the information you've come across and the people you interviewed. What's your reaction to that information that you've come across over the 10 months?
Well, I suppose that over the 10 months, you're constantly playing ping pong with, you know, with the guests who are telling you things and you're going, oh, that's interesting. Okay, I know a little bit about that. Oh, I didn't know about that. Oh, that sounds a little bit out there, but go on, tell me more. So you're constantly being challenged. I think for me, because of my background as an entertainer and because I used to do sort of interviewee type shows or shows with Julia, I'm very comfortable being in front of a camera. And so I didn't feel at any point that whatever people were saying to me that I was like, oh my God, that's dreadful, I can't cope, you know. It was like, so in terms of showtime, if you like, when people are talking to me, it's like they may have said some horrendous things or some things that really challenged me, and I'm aware that, oh well, I'm on, you know, I'm being recorded, and so you're going with it. And I found that the best policy, which helped then, I guess, cerebrally, thinkingly, whatever the terminology is, that then let me think about it much, much later. So guests might be talking, you know, we mentioned time travel or about aliens or the cabal and or some of the things that might be happening. So whilst I'm actually engaged with them, it's quite easy just to go, okay, that's interesting, oh, that's interesting, because I'm thinking of the next question. I'm interpreting what they said. Can the audience understand what they've just said? Is there anything I need to pull out or go a bit further in detail on that? Is it getting boring? You know, all those sort of presenter questions which come into mind. And then later on, you're going, hang on a minute, did they just say that such and such is going on, or did they imply, or is it possible that you... So I was playing ping pong, but because there's so many guests, I haven't really had time to get... a lot of it's been subconscious. The sort of absorbing of the information has been subconscious. And I've gone, okay, I've got a ground smacking on that. I may have gone and done a little bit of deep diving with the various links. Of course, the audience give me millions of links. Oh, Richard, if you don't know about this, have a look at this type thing. And so I would do a lot of that. And some of it was very scary. You know, we weren't really talking terribly scary stuff on the show, but in the privacy of answering emails and people sending you off to links which is telling you about all sorts of stuff, which I guess I don't really need to go into here because people perhaps will have an idea of the sort of thing. things that might happen to children, for example, and you just think, my God, this is really awful. But I haven't got time to dwell on it too much because there's another show to do and somebody else is challenging you in a different way. That's actually been, for me, very beneficial, because I think if I only did a weekly show, I'd probably get very morose about some of the subjects.
Yeah, it can dwell on your mind, all right, with some of the information that goes through, that comes through.
Because some of the guests were coming in with very positive things, and I need to emphasise that, because we were having a lot of solutions. So people who were doing Reiki, for example, or hypnosis, or were talking about money, or the whole sovereignty thing, which was something to learn, you know, that we're sovereign beings, we're men and women, we're not legal personas, all of that. Mm. And so all the time you saw something negative, I found on the journey there was very much more positive things than the negative things. And I kept thinking, oh, we're going to win this. It's okay. It's all okay. Because actually, if you don't have the fear, and I started to learn that bit quite on, because, and that was reflected in the monologues, where I really started to take the mickey a bit more.
Yeah, well, they play on the fear. You know, that's what they did with, you know, the things that happened 3 years ago. Mm. And when they roll out the fear with their nudge groups, the Sage in the UK and NEFID in Ireland. And because fear shuts down your prefrontal cortex and you can't think, you're in fight or flight mode. And they use that all the time. And this is the something that's important, obviously, on your journey. You know, I think when I got talking to you, you were at around 26,000 subscribers. And when your numbers start going up after the Neil Oliver show that you did, how did you and Julia feel about that? Did you go, hang on a minute, what's going on here? All of a sudden, everybody's emailing me and my subscriber numbers are going up. How did you feel about that? Were you asking yourself questions about what's going on?
Well, it's true to say that Julia was very nervous about us going into this area, and I had no idea I was going into this area. It was a period where I was flatlining on the old channel as we were coming into the autumn stroke winter. It was November, so we're coming into the winter, and I had been doing landscape, heritage and nature. We'd done 5.5 years, so going out into walks around in the winter, I'd done that so many times. You can talk about trees that got no leaves on and that very soon the buds will come back, and you know, here we see, and so it would be very much treading old ground. And I was sort of just, I suppose, trying to find something else to bring to the table that would keep the audience interested. So we had no idea. Then, so as you say, then suddenly the figures are coming up. Now, of course, I have lived through 2020 and those periods. And in our live show that we did on a different channel called The Vobe Show, which was purely entertainment, when we were going through it, we were doing many more shows because people were locked down and appreciated a bit of entertainment, most of which was just fun and silly stuff and a lot of nostalgia. And of course, I was curious and a bit outspoken during that time, wondering why certain procedures were the way they were and why a certain medical option was being thrust down our throats. And I would question that. And but the audience were very, very negative in reply. So if I got excited about that and said, hang on, why do we do... So if I was questioning it, it was like, no, Richard, you've got to go with the flow. You know, the government know best. Don't be an idiot, you know, go and get your thing and you'll be okay. And I just felt this is really weird, because blatantly something's wrong and yet people can't see it. And so intuitively, the more that happened, the more pressure came on from the mainstream media and the government and then my audience, I thought, it can't be me. It's just not me. So then roll forward and we do start to see the audience figures rising up. I felt vindicated. I said, you know, look, people really do want to hear this. They do. They're asking the same questions. They're saying, what's going on? And I did realise quite quickly that I was putting it over in a tame way and are measured. Everyone's saying, oh, Richard, you're very measured in how you're doing it. One reason I was measured, if I'm brutally honest, is I didn't know the answers. They were genuine questions. And it was like, well, why is the government introducing these things? What is the motive behind that? Surely, you know, a kind, benevolent, philanthropic government that we pay to do our bidding wouldn't possibly do harm to us. And of course, as I realised, actually, they were doing that, and the audience were growing, and they, you know, I understood that when you look on alternative media, people who've lived it and know what's going on and are very passionate can come over rather forceful. So people on the alternative, you know, might have been very much saying some outrageous things to the moderate audience that were coming away from mainstream media. Then they would hit me, and there's this sort of dappery-looking bloke who's talking in very measured tones, but asking questions that they themselves perhaps hadn't considered, but they're quite good questions. Why would you want a digital ID? What's that about? Mm. And so I realised, basically, that people wanted to talk about it, and in time, it took about a month, really, for Julia to sort of go, you know what, you're right. And we must do this. And so she then encouraged me. And then we realised we were on a mission. And, of course, I'd spoken to you, and the rabbit hole started to open up.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the backing of the family and partners and husbands and wives are all very important with this journey, because a lot of the time what happens in the media is one partner wakes up and the other one doesn't. Yes. And then you kind of start drifting apart from each other because you have different interests. It's great that you and Julia are on that path together. But something you said there was quite important. Again, I talk about the path of knowledge and giving people information. Information that they're ready for at the point they're at. You know, if people start talking about, say, fluoridated water or something like that, you don't go off and talk to them about things flying around in the sky, because that's too much of a leap and it won't resonate with them, and they'll even call you a conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
So you always give people the information to the level they're at. And this is what you did with your narrative, because as you said, you didn't have the answers. You were just asking the questions. What a great way to do it. You know, and the law will always confirm that, you know, there's nothing in the law that says you can't ask a question. You know,
No. It's
when you start making statements, that's when it starts getting rocky.
Yes.
So ask as many questions as you want. That's the important thing. So your subscriber list went up. And all these people are emailing you. You must have felt, well, obviously what you said is there was something in that. And then you carried on. And now you're up to your eyeballs. Now, have you noticed something that with all this information that you're dealing with, because I did on my journey, have you gone on the emotional roller coaster? Have you been on that with Julian?
Yeah. Undoubtedly, you know, as things become... As the curtain is pulled back and you realise things are not quite as they are. And the seminal moment for me was reading a book by Fergus Greenwood, 180 Degrees, which is about 700 or 800 pages. It's a massive tome of a book. And it was sent to me. It just turned up. I had no idea who sent it, but it was inscribed by the author. And it was, you know, here, Richard, read this sort of thing. And I read it. And it was a book, it took a month to read because it was quite long and I don't have a huge amount of time, but I love reading. And I read it, I couldn't put it down. And it dealt with things like 9/11, moon landings and more trickier subjects. And as I went through it, it gave me a grounding, if you like, of what was basically going on. But in... some bits were hard, some bits were quite harsh, but they were... The book is brilliant, and I recommend it to anybody. And, in fact, I had Fergus on the show, and he said he sold about 500 copies on the back of that, so I was so thrilled.
Fantastic.
But it gives you a good grounding, essentially, of a whole number of things. And because of that, then you sort of go off and you go, let me just go and look at this. And you do go down this. You know, I got very... depressed at one point because you think the game's up and you think, oh, they've thought of everything.
Yeah.
That what can you do? there's nothing, we're just useless ants and they're stamping on us. And they, and we can run around, but if that doesn't work, they'll just put boiling water on us, you know. And they're teasing us a lot of time and they're laughing at us with all their signs and symbols and all of this. And then I started to think, well, they're not going to get the better of me. And I'm just not going to put up with it. Of course, meanwhile, lots of other people have come into my life, not just the guests, but other people have come into my life, emails, I've met people, had private discussions, telephone calls with various people and said, you know, I'm so-and-so and I do this. And the encouragement from people has been absolutely amazing. And then I can't remember when it was. It was before the Better Way conference, which was in June, so March, April, probably around then. I realised that I'd been talking about the problem for quite some time, but it was essential to talk about solutions because there's plenty of people on YouTube and other channels going, oh, crikey, look what just happened, and keeping you in the fear. They might be instructing you about what's going on, but they seem to be keeping you frightened. And I thought, we need positivity. And I'm a positive person, you know. I'm in the entertainment business. I like to make people laugh and smile and have a giggle. And, of course, I was bringing my humour, which in the past most people weren't that interested in. I found more people have been, they laugh at my humour. But I think because you can laugh in with dark humour in a way that is quite funny, because you can actually say, you know they're trying to kill us, and then you have a joke about it.
Yeah,
but the message has gone through. Mm. and so yeah, so to answer the question, both Julia and I did go through a roller coaster of emotions. I feel much more upbeat now. Did you see more things coming in? And you just think, I'm not going to let you penetrate my positivity anymore.
Yeah,
I'm just not going to let that happen.
Well, I spent 9 years on my other radio show talking about the problems, and I realized that this emotional roller coaster had an effect on me, because it's, you know, love and hate have a frequency and it can affect our body. So I made a decision that from now on, everything is to be treated as information. It's neutral.
Yeah.
Because they want us to go on that emotional roller coaster. They want us to wake up and be angry and to kick the cat and upset our partner or our girlfriend or our wife or whatever. That's what they want. So by treating everything as neutral, then there's no, you're not attaching an emotion to it. Okay.
Right.
So that's important for everybody, because otherwise you will go on that emotional roller coaster. Okay, so I learned that kind of early on when I started doing the radio show. And yeah, that journey is quite important. And how do you feel now? I mean, with your positivity, because I noticed that there was a milestone that you did hit and you start getting involved in the talking about the spiritual side. And it's something that I talked to you about, because that happened to me in my journey when I thought, like you, we've had it. The world is controlled and it's the end. In 2 weeks of me getting that download and getting that thought, the spiritual side came knocking. And that's how I kind of understood that there was a solution, that we had to go down that road. But I want to go back a little bit to the psychology and something that you did say, because it's very important. When I was in 2001, when somebody came to me with David Icke's book, The Biggest Secret, I did exactly what most people do. And I took the ego kicked in, the arrogant approach kicked in, because ego is made up of ignorance and arrogance. And I said, why would I want to read that book? That guy's a nutter. He thinks he's God. He was on Terry Wogan, right? Now, I didn't know any of his information. I didn't know anything that was in the book, but I was arrogant to think that I knew better than he did, with no research done whatsoever. You know, but there's my arrogance. And then I stopped myself and I said, hang on a minute, how arrogant am I thinking that I know better than David Icke when I haven't done any research into it? So I decided to jump in and I said, right, I'm going to prove these conspiracy theorists wrong and I'm going to research the subject so I can get into a debate with them. And little did I realize that actually I proved myself wrong and I gave myself a kicking. So, and the great thing is, Richard, that you didn't take that approach. You were open-minded and you went on that journey and you looked at the information, and you're still doing it now. How does Julia feel about all the information? Because this is a shared journey with you and Julia. How does she feel about the information? Is she on the same wavelength as you, or does she have questions about some of the content that comes in and the guests that come in?
She certainly doesn't have any bad questions or concerns about the guests. She finds them all fascinating and interesting, and very often she'll say to me, why didn't you ask this, or why didn't you ask that, you know, all those sort of things. I go, oh yeah, if only I'd known. And she's got two kids, and she's in a difficult situation with her living sort of situation, because we don't actually live together at this moment. We're trying to sort of pull that together. So she's a full-time mum most of the time, with a four-year-old who is very much on 100% of the time. So she hasn't got time to deep dive or read, because people have been incredibly generous and sent me books on all sorts of subjects, some of them wanting to get on the show to promote their book about a particular subject. And I don't really have a problem with that. If I feel it's an important subject, then if they've spent 5 years writing this thing and it's an important message and other people are going to benefit from it, then why not? But I do say to them, you know, can you send me a copy so I can at least do as best I can, even if I only read three or four chapters of it, just to get an idea before we do something. So people have been very generous. So I try to read as much as I can. And of course, the books keep coming in, which is lovely, because I love books. But just, could I have more time, please, to read them? So I guess Julia gets a lot of second-hand knowledge from me, because then a guest may say something or other, and she may have this question, but I may be able to answer that for her and say, oh yeah, we did actually talk about that before or after the interview, because not all of the interview, well, all of the interview goes out. I don't edit anything, but like with you today, we had a little preamble before you start recording. It's only natural that you sort of get an idea of what you're going to talk about. And some guests have very prepared notes and things they want to get over, and I don't like to have set presentations where they'll just bring their slides, because, you know, they could make their own video, they don't need me. And I like to sort of have a bit of an informal thing, and if I can make it light, if it's a hard subject, just to keep people staying with it, because it's very easy for audiences to go, oh, okay, this is a bit dull. Whereas if you can make it fun, I try to do that. So yeah, Julia, but she's very much on the same ball at the park, and she understands what's going on. And of course, we'll have conversations when we're cooking together or travelling to events now. And the other thing is, of course, at events or when I'm giving a talk, people can only access me a certain number of times. So Julia is also talking to people, and I'm not privy to what they say. And she'll say, oh, I spoke to this interesting chap who said such and such and such. And I think, wow, yeah, we must get him on the show. So she's making notes and helping get people on the show to express what they've got up their sleeve. Mm. So it works incredibly well.
Yeah, I've never rehearsed anything in 13 years of doing radio. It's always been off the cuff, because I find that flows better. Mm. You know? Now, obviously, welcome to the alternative media, and you would have found in the last 10 months. Have you come across any attacks or this talk about shills?
Quite early on, I interviewed a chap called William Keat, who talked about the British Constitution, as he labelled it. But he was just basically talking about a constitution that we have that goes back to the Magna Carta of 1215. And I had a gentleman from an alternative party saying that we both were shills. I'd never heard that term before. I'd never come across it. He later apologised, because I think he just misunderstood what we were trying to get over. It was more the principle rather than an exact set of rules or anything than he had his notions of what he wanted to get across. And he thought we'd hijacked his concept, I suppose. But in time, I've heard that in other videos people would make and say, is Richard Vobes controlled opposition? Is he a shill? And in fact, I remember at one talk, people wrote down questions on slips of paper like this. And at the end of the talk, I was given these, about 20 or 30 of these questions. And they said they'd written them all in advance. And they, you know, what do you think about so-and-so? And what's the answer to such and such? And then one was, are you controlled opposition? And I said, well, what would you expect somebody to say? What can I say? You know, if I say no, you're not going to believe me if that's what you think. And if I say yes, what are you going to do about it? I said, if, you know, ultimately, it's by what I do, where I go, the people I talk to. You have to make your own mind up if you think that I'm a paid opposition. I mean, sooner or later, if you are, you're going to inadvertently give yourself away or do something. And, you know, but I don't get that quite so much now, the shill and that thing. I mean, a lot of people think I'm naive. They don't understand my thoughts. And I have no problem with that. People's entitled to their own opinion, of course. And I encourage different opinions as long as it's not insulting or inciting any kind of hatred and things like that. If it's just, you know, actually, I disagree with you, Richard. I think that's not the way you could do it. You could do this, or maybe you should try this. Very open to all of those things. But people, they don't always get that I'm open to it. They think that I'm very closed off, and I try to be as open with everybody as I can, but sometimes you don't have the time to engage with people.
Yeah, well, you know, we've had that as well. You know, are you paid control opposition? And I say, no, not at all. Just please avoid my Lamborghini that's in the car park there. Yeah. You know, that was paid for by the CIA. So make humour out of it. Now, we know there is controlled opposition out there. And we know there's a lot of the alt media, quite more than what people realise, are controlled. Because the best way to control the system is to be involved in it, you know. And I've come across that in the 22 years that I've been involved in this. And I've come across certain people that say they're, you know, alt media and everything else. But you find out, you know, when you do your research, that it's they're actually being paid to do what they do. And this is the thing with people who attack what we do. There's kind of, I always put it down to two kinds of people. You've got your controlled opposition, the people that are paid to attack you, right? So they're being paid. So no matter what you do, they will attack you anyway because they're paid to do it, okay? Then you have the other people out of ignorance. They just are stuck in their belief system. And when you're challenging their belief system, they're not prepared to entertain all this information. Their ego kicks in and then they have a go at you because they don't like what you're saying. Because they like the comfortable lie rather than the uncomfortable truth. And what you're doing, Richard, with your show is challenging people's belief systems. And a lot of people who are stuck in their ego don't like that. And that's probably why you would be attacked. And I have been attacked on numerous occasions in the years that I've done it, you know. But as like you, I don't have any problem with feedback as long as it's constructive. Yes. If it's just going to be insulting and rude, it just gets deleted because then people don't deserve my respect.
No, exactly. And the other thing is I always think, what are they going to achieve by being rude to me or whoever? Because if somebody's rude to you, you're less likely to listen to them. You know, some people say, oh, well, I don't want you to do that because you're an ignorant blah, 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 and come out with something. And you think, look, if you just said, I really disagree with you and these are my reasons, I would actually listen to that. But as soon as you start calling names, it's like, well, why would I listen to that? What makes you think that by calling me names, that is actually going to ingratiate me to your point of view? Of course it's not.
Yeah, totally, totally. Now, we talked a bit on the spiritual side, and I want to get into that because you're beginning to kind of look into this from a solutions point of view and a spiritual point of view. And you did have Tracy Mahon on your show a few weeks ago, and I'm going to put my hand up to that. I was the one that suggested Richard interview Tracy because I seen some of the comments on your webpage, and it was like, these channelers, they're no good, blah, 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 send, you know, angry at something that all you're doing, which is entertaining what's out there. And again, letting people have a listen to it. And if it resonates with them, now I've known Tracy a good few years and I've had a number of private readings from Tracy and she's been very accurate with her readings. Leah Ray is another lady that you interviewed. Again, I've had readings from Leah and her readings are very accurate. Now, I've been involved in the spiritual side. When I lived in London, I used to be involved in the spiritual churches in London and I ran my own spiritual circle. So if there's some kind of rogue medium out there or somebody who's trying to pull a fast one, I'll pick up on it because I know the methods they use to do readings. You know, and I know the charlatans out there. Look, you get dodgy plumbers, you get dodgy painters, and you get dodgy mechanics. You're going to get dodgy mediums. Or people who think they're mediums. I mean, that's just life, you know. But I've noticed that the spiritual side has begun to open up, and you're beginning to question that. So, how do you feel? Whereabouts do you feel you're on your spiritual path now? With the more and more people you've interviewed regarding the spiritual side.
Well, quite early on, the emails that would come in would come from a number of sources. People who were spiritual in whatever form that took. People who were deeply religious and would send me chosen Bible passages. And then those that thought the whole load of things was too woo-woo, as they say. So where am I now? I've always felt that there was something beyond me, beyond the ego, at the back of my head. And as a 18-year-old, I read a lot of self-help books. My mother was a alcoholic, and my father left home. It didn't occur to me at the time that my father left his children with a serious alcoholic. She wasn't abusive physically, but she was abusive very, very much verbally and hence mentally, which knocked my confidence drastically. So at the time I was reading, how I got into it, I don't know, but I was reading a lot of these self-help books, and many of them were talking about the subconscious, about reprogramming your subconscious, not taking on board what people say to you. And so I was aware of sort of mental problems, but I would never really got into religion. It was never part of the family's doctrine, if you like, or psyche. People I knew said they'd seen ghosts, but I could never see these bloody things. And I entertained a lot of this, funnily enough, but I got a bit sceptical when nothing would happen to me. Other people would see it. And then I was working with people who would say they'd go into a room and they would go, oh, yeah, there's a presence. I can feel this. And I'm going, what are you talking about? There's nothing here. What are you talking about? I can't feel a thing. And then I thought, are you doing this? Because I associated with a lot of people in acting and drama, I just kept thinking, you're doing that just to be, you know, for people to look at you, to think you're special. You've got these magic powers that you can do this, because plainly the other people in this room are sensing nothing. And you're going, oh, no, no, I can't tell you what it is, but it feels very oppressive. And I thought, but then you do get people who go into a new house when they're looking for a house to live in, and they go, well, I can't live here because there's something odd about it. And I could relate to that, and I go, yeah, okay, I can relate to that, but why can't I feel any of this? And this was the thing that it still frustrates me to a certain degree. So going and talking to more of spiritual people and reading a bit more about it, and one of the books, of course, that's been around for a long time, which I don't know whether it would be classed as spiritual, possibly The Power of Now.
Which
takes you to focus on the moment, the very moment, and it takes you to observe your own feelings. So when you're cross and angry about something, you're frustrated, it says, no, just take one step back. So you're looking at how you're reacting, which is not an easy thing to do at first. It's not easy to sort of get into the moment because you're either worrying about what's happened in the past or you're concerned about what's happening in the future, and you miss what's now, this very moment. You're not enjoying the joy of life. But I do, and of course one of the things that you'd hear time and time again is we are human beings having, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. So all the time these things are sort of growing on my consciousness. And then I'm watching people like Bruce Lipton, who's talking about quantum, not mechanics, quantum theory.
You've got quantum entanglement, which is an Einstein thing. But Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about the study of epidemiology, where you can't be positive or negative. You're either one or the other.
Right. And so he's saying the thoughts are affecting you. And I think, blimey, this goes back to the 1960s, 70s, when I was reading all that stuff. And people were saying that, but they didn't know, they couldn't look through quantum microscopes to sort of actually see how things are reacting. And, of course, a lot of this is esoteric knowledge from way back, you know, the yogis and ancient, and people have been taught it. My dad was also into this. He did a lot of yogic breathing and things. So it's been with me. The biggest frustration, though, is whilst I've believed that it's all there, is other people seem to be able to either have spirit guides or do remote viewing or sense things or whatever it is, and I can't. And when I was reading that book, 180 Degrees by Fergus Greenwood, one of the things he says in the book is, if your parents have died, have you recently spoken to your parents? Have you spoken to them? And that really spoke to me because my parents have died fairly recently. And I remember thinking that of all the people who might come back or talk to me as spirits would be my parents. And they never have, and not to my knowledge. I mean, they might have done, but I still don't sense them. Mm-hmm. And I would walk about the house on my own and say, Dad, Mum, if you're here, you know, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to just, you know, something. Show me a sign. Do something. I just want to know you're okay. Because both of them died in sad circumstances, not nasty, painful, but drawn-out deaths because of either Alzheimer's or the drinking as the body collapsed. And I couldn't really do a proper goodbye to them. You know, it's not like you could go, thanks very much for everything, see you next time. You know, they just sort of got into mental states that you couldn't communicate with. And so there was no real finish, and I just thought it would be lovely. So when he said that, so I have walked around talking to them, and occasionally I go, are you here? Can I communicate with you? So I'm struggling with that, but I do believe that I'm no longer, I'm not frightened of death, if that's, you know, a human death. I'm not frightened of that because I think we do continue, that we're part of something.
Yeah. They always say energy can't be created or destroyed, it just is, it changes form as we die. And one thing I just want to correct you on there, you said you can't do it. Everybody has the ability to do it, but some people have more natural ability than others. And this is why you join a spiritual circle, which is what I did when I was in London. And I ran my circle when I moved back to Ireland, because it's like a muscle. It's your psychic muscle. And if you don't go to the gym, well, your muscles aren't going to improve. So by joining a spiritual circle, and if you have a decent circle leader who'll teach you, who's a medium, experienced medium, and they teach you right, you can develop that psychic muscle and develop it. You know, people say, oh, we don't have them abilities, but you hear stories of, and this happens to people generally, where you're in the car with your partner, or your girlfriend, your wife, whatever, and you pull up the window and she turns around and says, oh, I was just about to ask you to do that. Or you think about somebody, you know, in your head, and all of a sudden the phone rings and it's them on the end of the phone, right? We all have the ability. But it's like a muscle you have to exercise.
And I don't doubt that whatsoever, that we have the ability. I think it is innate to everybody. And when I say, you know, I don't know, that's the thing. And I think I'm slowly opening up I can accept loads of things, but it's sometimes you've got to accept that water is wet by actually putting your finger in it. And, you know, you can theorize that water is wet, but until you put your finger in it, so I think I do think that will happen, and I meditate more and all those things, and I think it will. And I've had some strange experiences, but I suppose it's so easy to sort of put them down to other things rather than trusting oneself. So that's work in progress, I would say. But I definitely feel that is an essential work in progress. Mm. It's just at the same time, so bloody busy. We're trying to get the content out. But at the moment, the biggest thing for me now, I suppose... So I'll come back to that point. I have a number of people who email me regularly who have got spirit guides, or they're clairvoyant or whatever they do. And I asked one of them, what do I need to do? How do I go about this? And he said, you're doing it. You just don't know you're doing it. Because people talk about downloads, and you have this sort of concept in your head, or I do anyway, this picture of somebody going, and all this like, oh my God, yes, now I know the answer to life, the universe and everything, and it's 42. And you scribble away and what have you. And maybe that does happen to some people. But this particular one of the people gets back to me and he says, you've done it again with your monologue. He's like, you're on the money. And he said, where does that come from? I said, well, it's just, you know, I get up in the morning, or it might be the night before, and I'm just inspired. I just think to myself, well, that will make an interesting. And he says, well, that's probably it. You just don't know that that's it. So
being guided.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that's it, because if it isn't it, I don't want it to disappear, because so far I seem to be on the money with the thoughts. And also, there is something in one of the reasons I don't edit the videos, particularly the monologues. I try to do it all in one take without any edits, so it can be seen not to be manipulated or changed or whatever, because there's something about talking on the fly that it means that you have to trust yourself as you're talking. And you've got the vaguest of ideas, and then it comes out, and sometimes I think to myself, I couldn't write that. I couldn't have sat down and written that. It just came out. Okay, sometimes I'm searching for the words, and I may mispronounce words. I do that quite a lot, as in my haste to get the point. But I do feel that sometimes those monologues are... it's not really me coming out. But then I had that when I was writing children's books, and I was trying... didn't get them published, really, but I was writing them, and the characters would talk to you. And that, again, I feel like was not me. So maybe I am doing this, but I almost feel that I need it rubber stamped to say, you know, you've got a spirit guide telling you, or it's your higher self or the source or whatever it is. You know, I think that's just something in me that says you need validation.
Okay.
I'm learning to trust my own inspiration, I think.
Can I give you that validation? It is you, and you're being guided, and I'll give you the rubber stamp.
Thank you very much.
No, that you are being guided. I mean, what the way you your journey has taken place over the last 10 months can only be guided. My own life has been project managed, and when I look back at my own life of how things were put in place, I couldn't have managed it better. Definitely project managed. So when you're you were probably in the river and you were trying to swim upstream and you were probably struggling a little bit. Now you're going downstream with the river and everything's just fitting in place and coming in because you're taking the right track. And I feel that your natural ability and your charisma on camera comes over, and that's why your numbers have gone up, because people are really like what you're doing, and you're, it's honest, it's straightforward. As you say, you don't edit the monologue, you just, you know, speak from your mind, and that's what people pick up on, because your voice carries a frequency, Richard, and I think that's very important as well, and people pick up on that energy and that frequency in your voice. Not just your just a video. It was said to me as well about my show, because I just used to do radio, audio, and people said the same thing about my show. And I thought, well, that doesn't make sense. So, you know, I'm not, you know, face for radio, voice for print, you know. Yeah. But look, it's what people have said to me. But the one thing I did say to you before we went live was, because you're so popular, this subject matter can consume you and consume your life, and you can burn out very easily. I've been down that road, and something that I want to pass on to you is, and I said to you, was you need to have me time for you and Julia. You need to be able to walk away. And I was talking to somebody in the alt media a couple of years ago about, there was a shooting in Los Angeles a couple of years ago. And I was speaking to him, and he was telling me, well, I don't know whether he had two guns or three guns or whether there's two shots. And I said, look, I said, do you believe that there is an element of control in the world by a certain group of people? And he said, yes. And I said, great. I said, now go off with your family and your kids and enjoy them and have fun with them. Who cares whether it was two guns or three guns? It doesn't matter. You know the big picture, that we are being manipulated and controlled. That should be good enough, really. And, you know, we don't worry about the small things. And I would say that with you and Julia, that you're loads of people emailing you want to come on the show, nothing else, I get that. But you have to have your downtime or else you'll just burn out.
Yes, and that the point that I was going to make, which I interrupted myself, was the big thing for me at the moment, and I feel this on a spiritual level, is nature is calling me. I feel it's very essential for me to not so much get away from the show particularly, although this would be getting away from the show, is to get back into nature. I'm in, you know, bricks and mortar in a concrete house with cars and things and LED lights and screens, and I'm doing this day after day after day. And I used to do walking around in heritage landscape and nature, trees and hills and things, and I miss that like nobody's business. And at the moment, I feel that particularly strongly, that we've got to get a piece of land, we've got to start growing. This is just Julia and I, and we both agree. And so in a way, I feel like when November comes and I have that year of having done this, that's a time to sort of go, right, I'm out of, not out of it, but to really pull back, because I think by that time, certain things will be happening. I have a feeling that a lot of things would be happening. People may need solace, but I can do it, if I do it right, not necessarily from a homemade studio, but I can do it from a laptop and a webcam in nature and use all those vibrations, of course, to inspire me more. But I will be more refreshed and ready to fight again. But I just know I've got to get out of this very electric environment. So I take on board what you're saying, and I am feeling a little weary of. I mean, people say to me, I used to do shows, entertainment. I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do the show, half an hour. No idea what I was doing. Highly energy at sort of 5 in the morning in the shed. On the Vobe show as a podcast, as an audio podcast. And I did that for about nearly 10 years every day. People after about 6 months said, Richard, you've got to stop, you're going to burn yourself out. But I never did. I'm very tenacious. And if I'm into something, I'm in it. I'm either in it or I'm not in it, which is why I'm so prolific. But I do feel that when I pull myself out and go into nature, I should be so absorbed with growing and building a new environment and be sharing videos on that, but perhaps not banging them out quite so vigorously. And I feel that's what I've got to do for my own mental stability.
Well, I'm glad you said that you're not going to walk away from it, because I know you're interested in getting a bit of land and getting back to nature, because you've said that a couple of times on your show. And a lot of people would say the same thing. We want to get away from the city. We want to go out to the country and everything else. But that's not going to stop the government impacting on your life and trying to change things. And this is why we can't walk away from it, to be honest with you, because we might have a little homestead with a little bit of land and everything else, but the government will still come in and try and impact on our lives to change the rules and the regulations and everything else. So that's why we have to keep on fighting.
Well, that's true, but where I'm sitting, I don't think the government are going to be around for very much longer. That's call that whatever you like. That might be irrational thinking, but I think the collapse is on the way. So again, trying to be optimistic, people have been saying, "Oh no, Richard, you're talking rubbish." But I think and it's a hard leap for people to understand. Oh, the government's always been there. It's always been well. It hasn't. You know, the Saxons did things very differently. We had king rulers. You know, we've only had governments, and this corruption, of course, has been around for a long time. But I do think that things are going to change quite dramatically, and I know that I've got to charge my batteries through nature. So I will still be there. And if the calling is urgent, I will be there as urgent as it is. So I won't disappear. So please don't think that. If I do disappear, I mean, one of the things that, and I want to sort of bring this to a close, because I only usually do an hour.
Yeah.
But one of the things that is interesting and concerns me at the moment is, and I've mentioned this before, is with deepfake and AI, channels can emerge, and you can think you're looking at somebody you know and trust, and it's not them at all. And for me at the moment, getting out and meeting people in the flesh at talks, at events, where they can poke you and touch you and say, "Are you a shill?" is vital. Obviously, the reach is smaller, but I want people to know that I'm real, because I feel that the 2D screen with 3D graphics can be manipulated incredibly easily, and we're seeing that all the time.
Definitely. Well, I'm an IT guy, and I use Photoshop quite a lot, and it's amazing the fakery that you can do with Photoshop itself.
Yeah.
The fact of AI and the deep fakes coming out now, I totally agree. The thing to finish up and to end on this is for yourself and everybody else, just to say that an opinion is only an opinion. It becomes a fact when the evidence is produced. And sometimes people, maybe in their arrogance or ignorance, perceive their opinion as a fact, but it's not. An opinion is only an opinion. It was when the evidence is produced. And as you always say, and something that I've said, opinions are like arseholes. Everybody has one, right? But it doesn't make it a fact. All right? The other thing, little nugget of information. When we do what we do, and we put our face out there and we do the alt media platform, and we have the attacks which we mentioned earlier, I kind of applied a 33% rule, and that would be 3% of people will love what you do, Richard. 33% of people will not like what you do, and the other 33% will be sitting on the fence.
Be ambivalent.
Yeah, exactly. So the 66%, I wouldn't be worrying about them. I just focus on the 33%, and for anybody in the alt media doing that. But it's been great talking to you, Richard, and being open and frank in your journey over the 10 months. And what's your immediate future at the moment? I know you want to do the homestead thing, but what do you have planned for the next few weeks, couple of months?
Well, more of the same. I've got a diary full of guests, and I'm forming in my mind more solutions, and getting my opinions out, whether people are interested or not, is another thing. But it is interesting that some of the things I've been saying, I've noticed other people are saying. I think there's a level of synergy going on. We're not just copying one another. I think independent minds are thinking along similar lines. So we're all sort of getting something from somewhere. While I think there is some events that are going to take place which are going to be quite negative or challenging, I still feel that we have a huge role to play in bringing humour and positivity to those people who perhaps can be easily frightened and say, look, you know, it's not all bad.
Brilliant. Well, Richard, thank you for letting me interview you on your show.
That's quite all right.
And giving us a catch-up on what you've been up to. So thanks for doing that.
No, it's my pleasure. And Alan, thank you so much for asking some in-depth and difficult questions of me. I've enjoyed doing it. Let's just give you another plug. Circle of White Light Radio. Where can people find you? I'll put the link in the description, but just...
Yeah, if they go over to circleofwhitelight.com or go to rumble.com and type in Circle of White Light Radio, you'll see the previous interviews that myself and Richard have done in the past. So you can check them out there. And all the psychology that I apply, all the videos are there as well.
Fantastic. There you go. Brilliant. Well, it's been nice to have be on the shoe on the other foot. It's nice to have the shoe back again, however, as I go forward. So I'm back in control with all the knobs and levers. I hope the audience didn't find that too self-indulgent. Of course, I do slightly worry when I'm being interviewed and it's about me, because normally it's about the guests, but it's nice to do something a bit different, little twist. But Alan, thank you so much for being a wonderful host and questioner.
See?
Yeah, there you go.
So, thanks, Richard.
I've been no good at this presentation stuff. Until next time, do join me again with more guests coming up and more monologues, of course, on the channel. And go and check out Alan at Circle of White Radio. But from us,
you're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, folks. That was the interview that I did with Richard on his YouTube channel. And we had a great chat, very frank. He was very open about everything in his life that was going on and the journey that he had over the last 10 months. And he's really, really getting into the subject matter to a level, as I said on that interview, that, you know, his journey of 10 months took me probably 10 years. So it was very fast. His learning curve was very fast with everything that went on. But it goes to show you that, you know, when you start swimming downstream and go with the flow of the water, things start to happen. And the amount of clicks and people contacting him and the interest, I think he's up to about 180,000 subscribers now. When I started speaking to him, he was at 26. And so that's where his energy had to be for everything to kind of fit into place for him. And so he's doing a fantastic job, and fair play for him, as I say on the video, turn around and say in the chat with my mentor, I feel humbled that he said that on the video. So, you know, that's much appreciated. So I'm going to bring in my guest. I know it's kind of lastminute.com because I asked Lisa earlier today and I said, would you like to come on and have a chat after I did the pre-record? And like Trooper, Lisa's great, and she said she would come on. So good evening, Lisa. How are you doing?
Last minute, Lisa. Hello, Alan.
Lastminute.com. Well, look, we always have a good chat. Now, for people who don't know, myself and Lisa have been doing Rumble videos. What we do is every couple of weeks, myself and Lisa get three items of news, three items in the UK, three items in Ireland, and we do a Rumble news update. And we just talk about the three items on Rumble on video. You can see us there. And now that we have, that's the fact it's on video, we can actually use images and all that, which is really great. So, how are you doing, Lisa?
I'm all right. Thanks, Alan. Right. So I just want to say quickly, again, you have to love Richard Vobes, and that was a fantastic interview. And people have been saying that in the chat. You did a really good job there, Alan. I'd like to take this opportunity to give you a massive shout out, because you and I have been working together now for a few months. And I have to say, pretty much everything you say resonates with me totally. And I feel honoured to be here, and that you've allowed me to enter into your platform and push me into doing the whole video thing. Seriously, I truly am honoured. Totally, Alan. I think you do a great job. Your recent interview with Yvonne Skelly was amazing. So uplifting, hence why I asked you if I could play it on my show, which didn't quite turn out the way I wanted it to, but it will do. On All Hallows Eve, I will be doing it. I'm playing my show and playing that interview. You're doing great, Alan, and thank you so much for, you know, kind of including me in it.
Well, I just want to add my bit to that for you. Number one, you grab the horse by the reins, and instead of you going, no, I can't do that, no, you said, no, I'm going to do it. You stepped outside your comfort zone, you parked your ego, which is what I always talk about, and you said, no, okay, I'm going to do it. I'll give it a go. Even though you were nervous and you weren't too sure and all that, we said, let's do it, both of us, because the two of us, you've been doing radio for such a long time, you've been doing a great job at radio. It was the next step for both of us. And the two of us are reluctant and kicking and screaming, but we know that spirit we're gonna, that's the way everything was going, and that's the way we had to go. And that's what we're doing now, which is great. And, you know, you've been doing great work. Radio now, as it is, it has really kind of died. And even the mainstream radio, people are tuning out and they don't listen to it. Everything's the internet, YouTube and, you know, stuff like that. And, Spotify or whatever it is, you know, I don't know what the trends are, but I know people are kind of tuning out. And so we had to really go over to video. At the end of the day, we went over and my Rumble channel, it's great. People are beginning to subscribe to it, and I'm nearly at 1,000, which is great. And when that happens, I'll do a video and thank everybody for doing it. But I don't know where it's going to go, Lisa. I said it to you. Look, we'll just take everything as it comes. No pressure on us at all. We'll just go with the flow. And you've been great. You've been very open-minded with it. And you've been very chilled out, very relaxed, very easy to work with. That's the important thing. And because we're on the same wavelength, it's easy. Both of us are easy, and we get on and we have a chat and we swap information. And that's the way it should be, you know. And I appreciate you being like that. So thank you for being that.
Thanks, Alan. Is that not how life should be? All easygoing, and we all just get on with each other, and we all just acknowledge the fact that we're all part of the same thing, and we just love it. And again, it's sad to admit radio is dying. It's tragic. It's beyond tragic that radio is dying. Now, I have to say, when I can't sleep, and it happens quite often, I listen to radio plays and some of the old ones from Radio 4 from years gone by. And I tell you what, I've come across some absolute gems of radio plays that most people wouldn't even know exist. And this is why, in some ways, I still feel we're doing the video, and I get it. We've got to go that way. But we still have to keep the radio going too, Alan, big time, I think, I feel.
Yeah, I know. But the problem is that if you don't get the numbers, then you feel like you're talking to yourself or talking to a wall, you know, in all honesty. And, you know, at the end of the day, you have to value your own time. And that's the way I think, you know, this way I like the pre-record with Rumble, because you're not tied to every, like I did this for 9 years. I know you've been doing that a long time as well. Every Sunday for 9 years with OAM. That, you know, every week we were doing it, and people know that, long time listeners know that we were doing it every week. And then I carried that on with Circle of White Light, and I just thought, well, okay, now's the time. I think we did our apprenticeship, you know, now's the time to move on and to go to the next stage. Now, I did mention earlier on that me and you have talked about working out the Rumble Live stuff, and we did experiment, didn't we? A few weeks ago, we did experiment and go, okay, just to see how it works. So there's no reason why we can't have a go at doing a live show. Not every Sunday, obviously, because the whole idea is getting away from that, being tied to it. But, you know, we could do maybe once to start off with once a month and do a live show once a month or something like that. Maybe I do the news update once a month live on the Sunday.
Mm. Yeah, I'm willing to try that, Alan. Again, it's not we're being forced into doing something that maybe we wouldn't normally do. And I get it. I guess it's for me, it's difficult at night because my lighting isn't great here. But whatever, who cares? But yes, I guess it's. And I get that people love the live thing. This is why the people in your chat tonight that we've been talking to, that doesn't, you can't beat that live interaction. And when I do my shows, as you probably saw last week, what I tend to do is I pre-record my live shows, so they're not really live, but they kind of are because I've recorded it a few hours before. I'm there in the chat. I'm there to speak to people. The show's playing and I'm there. It's all recent. It's all new. It didn't work last week, but I had a major technical error. So, but I see it now. You know, if you look into the way that the universe works in a certain way, I tell you what, last whatever it was, Friday, when I tried to do my live show and it didn't work, we ended up playing your interview with Dr. Ed, and everybody, the few that were there, were like, whoa, and they were all into this urine therapy and everything that Dr. Ed talks about. And I tell you what, it was like it was meant to be that night. And so I believe in sometimes things happen for a reason. I do believe that. If some people, many people won't, but I do. And so what I'm going to be doing, the show that I was going to be doing last Friday, I'm going to be now doing on Halloween on the 31st. And there's so much in that, especially at the end with what Charlie Freak says about what's going on with Israel and the whole Halloween thing and the date. And apparently Charlie Freak says that there was a major agreement between the Rothschilds and it was going to end in Israel. It was going to end on the 31st of October, 2023, which would kind of explain what's going on now in Israel. And I thought that was fascinating. So that's all coming up on this Tuesday evening.
Yeah, but what did he say was going to end?
Well, basically, the Rothschilds hold on Israel with regards to it being an agreement that was I think it was started off in 1917, and it was due to end in 2023 on All Hallows Eve on, you know, Halloween, 31st of October, 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I have, people have said to me, what's your opinion on what's happening in the Middle East? And I just said to them, look, you know, I don't know much about it, so I can't comment because there's nothing I can do about it. So I focus on the things I can do, not the things I can't. And having that information and what is going on and, you know, the emotional stuff, renting space in your head is not really good from a mental point of view. So, and as I say, there's nothing I can do about it. So, yes, I've gotten kind of an overview of a general idea of what's happening, but I'm not going into detail. I'm purposely now I'm not putting on the TV to watch what's going on. Definitely not. You know, I just, again, I go back to my comedy programs and my, you know, Shed and Buried and car programs and stuff because I was listening to a chap, and I forget his name now today, when I was doing some work, and he was saying how important our mental health, how important it is, and not just the physical side, because he said, and he was naming a number of conditions that were caused by mental health issues. And I was going, holy God, I didn't realize how important our mental health is. That if we start having these things, renting space in our head and approaching things in a certain way, in a negative way, that our physical body can start suffering from it. So it was very serious. Now, I know he's a world renowned. He's a doctor and he's probably in his 70s. So I have to get his name. Gabar. I don't know. I'll have to find his name anyway. But I don't think he'd be up for doing an interview because I think he's just on a high level, way past my kind of scale. But I'd send an email to him. Now, I have sent emails out to people because one of the things in the reading that was done with Leah Jordan Week was that one of the readings that was said was that I'd be interviewing more high level people. And I'm thinking, well, okay, I don't know where they are because I've been putting out the feelers on a few people and nothing's come back. But all in due time, see what happens. Apparently also with the reading, Leah said that I'll be doing more talks. And that's fair enough. So maybe that's what's needed. One thing that Richard said on the interview that he just did was he was concerned about the deep fakes. And I totally agree that you can't believe now, really you can't believe what you're seeing and what you're hearing. Because the technology is out there to actually fake your voice and fake what you look like, you know, fake you. So they could take Lisa and they could take your voice and your face and then you get see a deep fake and you think it was Lisa. And it's yeah. And so Richard is so right about that, and we have to be careful with that.
That's been done with Katie Hopkins, apparently, and I do listen to Katie Hopkins every weekday. I would urge people to go and listen to Katie on TNT Radio every weekday from 9 till 10 a.m. She's great, I think. But anyway, just what you were just saying. So you're saying about high level. I tell you what, define high level. What's high level?
Well, I'd like to think people like MPs, you know, the likes of...
God, are they high level?
Well, you know, I mean, I did email a UK MP who, and I got their standard auto message back. Here's the funny thing, right? This high level, this, I won't say high level, but this MP, she's female and she's in the UK. And her auto send message came back and said, oh, if you are from my constituency, then I will get back to you. But if you're outside the constituency, then I won't be able to get back to you. I focus on dealing with my people in my constituency. But yet this person's on TV all the time. And I'm thinking, but if you're so concerned about your constituents, why are you on the TV all the time? So it was a bit of hypocrisy there, you know, a little bit, I think. And obviously they're going to pick and choose who they interview. And of course I'm a nobody. So to them, they
no,
probably,
you're not, Alan.
Well, no, you know, in the bigger scheme of things, like I'm not the BBC and I'm not ITV, you know what I mean? So, and I don't know whether there's a fee that they get paid for, an appearance fee. And, I always say to people, judge a person by what they do, but not what they say. Because talk is cheap, and I know it's a cliche, but talk is cheap.
Alan, does it not come down to what we really believe MPs to be when you really start to see things, and what is an MP, what is a Member of Parliament? And I'm going to give you an example now. What happened with the Andrew Bridge and the so-called debate that he'd been bringing up about the damage that the vaccines have done to people, and he brought it up and he was given a Friday afternoon slot and no one was there. There was about 8 of them there, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And this guy got up and spoke and said all the truths that we believe to be real. And I saw that, I didn't take that negatively. I saw that as a positive thing, in that if you've got eyes to see, if you're still trusting that the government gives a crap about you, look at what happened there. No one gives a toss. No one was there. No one wanted to hear, because they all know what it's all about anyway. And so that was a major marker to me.
Yeah, well, I mentioned it on the chat tonight about the Irish politicians over here. I don't know of any party politician, not independent, but any party politician who's put their head above the pulpit and actually talked about COVID. Yeah. They're all yellow-bellied, yellow-backed.
Because they know the truth.
Themselves. They know the truth. Ah, sure, what can you do? Or it's, you know, I'll just do what I can for myself and not give a damn about anybody else. My grandmother, even going back years ago, my grandmother used to say, all you do is feather your own nest. That's mm-hmm. And that's what she used to say all the time to the politicians. So I have zero interest and tolerance for politicians. Zero interest. I don't have time for them. Their energy level is so low to me. I just don't even want to entertain them, because they don't do anything for me whatsoever. All I see is them destroying the country. And then obviously there's politicians there who mightn't be happy of what's done, but they're not going to turn around and stand up and speak out, because, you know, they're service to self again. So I don't know what's coming down the line. I know there's a lot of good people out there doing a lot of good things.
There's a higher way of looking at it, Alan. If you do believe, if you listen to people like Dolores Cannon and what they used to say with regards to what this planet is, with regards to it being a learning platform, this reality possibly is, and I don't know. I mean, this is just what resonates with me. But if you look at it that way, then you could say that all of this so-called politic thing, all this government thing, all of this white noise thing is always going to be there to show people, because we're in a learning reality. It's when you actually realize that you can't trust these people, that they're taking away your power because you're not prepared to be mature enough in yourself. You're not prepared to go out there and do the things you should be doing. I mean, again, I go out in my park and see all these people leaving all these bloody bottles on the field, all this crap, all this litter. They can't even look after themselves. And so if you're going to be in that rut of not being able to take responsibility for your own existence and just do that, then you're going to need to be governed. And government means governing of the mind. So until you mature and grow up, then you're always going to have that to deal with. And that's what this reality might be.
No, look, I agree. It's the nanny state. And the nanny state is there because people act like children. And if you act like children, that's why the nanny state is there, and they justify their existence for the things they do. And we need to, again, I talk about the teenage mind and the adult mind. We need to get to the adult mind. But one thing I came across during the week, and it's a bit of a concern. They put out recruitment for the Gardaí over here, which is the police. And they had 200 recruits, only 200 recruits join for training. And 75% of them have left already. Now, that is frightening, because if we don't have anybody, the police, there's burglaries and shoplifting, and they don't even turn up. They go, whatever, you know. And that's terrible. I mean, if you get burglary or rape or something like that. But as soon as you say something like on social media, that's a bit like off target, you know, or, you know, upsets the virtual signaling people. You'll have five cops at your door, you know, saying, oh, we believe you said something on Twitter or X. You know, I mean, this wokey-pokey
stuff. So actually, Alan, the fact that not many were recruited is actually probably a good thing, because when you look at it, what are police? Police are the puppets of the government. What is the government? The government is the thing that's there, that's not really there for you, but if you're not responsible to take enough maturity for your own life, then you're going to have to deal with the government. So in some ways, that could be a good thing.
We'll see what happens. It's just, it brings society into a level of chaos, because there's always going to be people who will never grow up. They'll always going to be teenagers. They'll always be service to self. And it'll be the thuggery, you know. And that's my concern, that innocent people will be affected by that to no fault of their own, because of the way the politicians and about the way the system is controlled. I mean, 75% leaving the police.
Actually believe the police are there for us, though, Alan? Or are they just there to collect money for the powers that so-called be?
No, of course, the police are legalised mafia. I mean, that's all they are. They're just a legalised mafia. That's all they are. And then they're just revenue earners. I mean, again, all they do is go after the moat just all the time, you know, because it's an easy pickings. As I said, if you're a burglar and you get caught, they don't want to catch them and put them in prison, because that costs the taxpayer money. And that's money taken out of the pocket of the politicians. So they don't want to catch burglars and people like that, because it costs money. But they want to get the motorists, because that's a revenue earner. So let's get more speed cameras out there, you know, and let's make revenue rather than catch criminals and then put them in jail because that costs money. That's my opinion on it. That's the way I see it, from a financial point of view.
Yeah. I'm in the situation now, Alan, where I just want to be in the blooming woods on my own, to be honest. And that's my future reality. I love this planet. I love the beauty of it, the nature, everything that stands for. The other side of it, and I have to live in a city at the minute, and I hate it, a town, and I see everything that it is and the way people are. And again, you know, again, even just on the ground, people, they go and play football on the field on a Sunday and a Saturday, and they leave all their bottles on the floor. And I'm like, what is that? I can't get my head around how anyone can do that. And I said to, there was a guy, my husband and I met a guy that was picking up all the rubbish a couple of days ago with one of these stick things he was picking it all up with. And I said to him, oh, good for you, mate. And he was doing it off his own bat. And I said, I tell you what, if we left this for like a month, if we just didn't pick it up and left it for them, they'd be trying to play football knee deep in bottles. They might realise then.
I don't know. You know, again, you either bring your kids, they're either brought up or dragged up. And I've seen kids being dragged up. And so do I blame the kids? Not really. I blame the parents.
I know.
But the trouble is that if the parents were also dragged up, well then, and they only know about being dragged up, then obviously they'll drag their kids up, because that's all they know. So it's generational, I suppose, if you look at it that way. But I will say, on a good news point, I was planning to have a chat with an inventor who has invented a free energy device that can power a device up to a power, go up to about, well, it's scalable, but the one he developed was 50 kilowatts. Using magnetic energy and using a law called Lenz Law, I think it's called. And so the interview didn't take place because the dates were all kind of wrong. So we're going to try and organise another time to have a talk. But he sent me over the details of the patent, and I had a read of it. And I said, well, this is very interesting. Now, I will say this about free energy devices and stuff like that. Now, there's room for everybody, okay? But when you look at the neutrino device, now, if people haven't seen it, go to YouTube and type in neutrino device. This device is powered by neutrinos, obviously, and, excuse me, it's 8 inches by 8 inches. It will last for 50 years, and it will, I think it's about 10 kilowatts of power, and you can link them together. So wow. If you box them together, if you have two of them, then you have 20 kilowatts of power. And it's only 8 inches by 8 inches, and it lasts 50 years. Now, I was on the company's website who developed this, and it's very, very interesting. And there's a lot of, so using magnets and all that and magnetic motors is great, but that's old technology. The neutrino device is more of modern, new technology. And I don't know the size of this device that this guy has designed. I don't know whether, if it's the size of a washing machine, then it's no good. It's too big. But if he has it as a small kind of box shape, then that's not too bad, because you don't want the washing machine hanging off your wall, the power of your house. You know, you want something small. So there are kind of good things happening out there. And, and as I say, people that I'm speaking to in the background are organizing to have a meeting with them. And I'm also doing I'm organizing a spooky Q&A just to let people know. I'm going to organize a Zoom, spooky Q&A. Nick Dutch, who I've interviewed on my Rumble channel, is a qualified spooky trainer. And he said that he'd come on a Q&A, and we're going to talk all about spooky. And for new people who are, or people who are interested in the spooky, maybe you don't have one, but you have a few questions about it, you can come on. So if anybody's interested in doing this training or being involved with the Q&A, then send me an email to contact us at circlewhitelight.com, and I will stick you on the list. And when it's, when we have a date, I will let you know. And it's all free and all that, of course. You know, just jump on the Q&A, and then if there's any questions, you can ask them. But so that's kind of the good news. You know, that's all the kind of good things that are happening. As to where we're going at the moment in the world and what's going on, well, I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, you get to the stage where you have to kind of just focus on your own energy. Yeah. And as I said at the start of the show about finding your own space that has your own energy signature and do your manifestation from there, because apparently I will amplify it. So I would be doing that and going out to my shed and you know. Yeah, well, it's a way of getting out. You know, I like pottering around anyway. I have things to do out there. So I'm making stuff. You know, it's quite enjoyable. But that's it. So what are you up to these days, Lisa? What are you doing?
So anyway, just to get back on what you're saying there, Alan, I'm still very positive. I see so many changes that are happening now. I know it's frustrating. We've all been through 4 years of chaos and hard times. It's been so hard to watch what's gone on. But I am very positive, and I see changes happening. Now, every day on the news you get, well, the bits I look at have come up, you know, automatically on your blooming feed, and you get all this mainstream stuff about this store's closing down in the UK, these stores are closing down, blah, 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 and it's endless. And I see this as a progression. It's like a slow progression towards something that needs to be anywhere. We all need to be getting to this. We need to, this system has not worked really. You know, it's people, kids are walking around on phones now. I saw two lads about 9 years old recently, and they were just like, their heads were like so close to their screens, and they were just walking around with these bloody phones. I don't even know if the parents are going to let that happen, but hey, things need to change, Alan, and this is happening now. I feel it's happening. It's going to be a slow, gradual, chaotic, probably transition, but I still feel that it's happening for the better. I have to believe that, and I do see that. And so people like us need to stay positive. We need to spread out, and never more so the natural health thing again. What you did with Dr. Ed and things like that has been like major, I think. And this is a way forward for all of us. The National Health Service in the UK, I think, is going to collapse in the not too distant future, because people need to see a different way to retain their health and actually bring it back from everything that's been so alien to us. So there's great stuff ahead. We've just got to be strong and you know, forge ahead, Alan.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the centre of the hurricane. We're in the eye of the storm, and I feel that, you know, when it's like, I think I was saying it the other night about, I was speaking to somebody about this. It's like moving house. When you're moving house, right, there's chaos in between. You're actually packing everything up in your old house, and you have to move everything and move to your new house and set it up. And we are moving house at the moment. I think the world is moving house, and this is the chaos part we're in. But there are good things going to be happening and coming down the line, I feel. But we're just in this period of the old system shutting down and collapsing because it's not benefiting us anymore. It doesn't work for us. And we have to move. It's like being in a neighborhood that's gone a bit troublesome. And you're just selling your house and getting out of the neighborhood and going to a better neighborhood that's more conducive to what you want, rather than being in a neighborhood that has loads of trouble in it. And I think we are this chaos and everything breaking down. And where it's going to go and what's going to happen, I don't know. All I'll say, and I've always said this, I had a Zoom group last week. I had a Zoom group meeting with a few people from the old assembly. And I said to them, look, as long as you have your prepped, as long as you have 2 weeks of food and water, and you're fairly prepped and you have a few things in, at least if you can eat, then you can think, all right? And should anything happen, then at least you're prepped for a period of time. And that's the important bit, because we don't know what's around the corner. And of course, the trouble with all the food that all this crap food that's out there, you know, and I know your budget dictates what you can afford. And, you know, I know that as well as everybody else, you know, you've got limited budget. It's the fact that it's cheaper to eat unhealthy and it's more expensive to eat healthy. And I get that. And, you know, if you don't have the money, you don't have the money. It's just a fact of life. And the cost of living has gone up, and everybody knows that. So, but it's just...
It's peace of mind to a certain extent, Alan, in that if people do get a little bit of things in, that they know they've got that peace of mind, right, with regards to that. Now, just to say, and I would like to just say this to give people hope and take fear away. You can actually not eat for a long time. Don't listen to what mainstream tells you. If you don't eat within 3 days, you're going to die. That's crap. Like, quite frankly, I've done 2 16-day fasts where I just drunk water, okay? So you're not going to die. If you believe you're going to die, then you may well die. If you believe you've got cancer, you may well die. It's the power of the mind is so amazing. And so, guys, just don't worry that way. You know, just get a bit of water and get a little bit of food, and you don't need to panic. And they will make you panic. They will try to make you panic. Just be real and see what's true.
Yeah, fear and panic. Okay, Lisa, we're going to leave it there. We're going to wind things up. A big thank you to Lisa for coming on and having a chat with me at the end. Thanks to Richard for that. Flipping things around by me being on his channel, but interviewing him on his channel. And we thought that would be be a bit of fun, and I hope you enjoyed the actual interview. Next month, again, I don't know, but look, as Lisa mentioned, there was a good interview, I feel, with Yvonne Skelly, who has lost 3 healing centres in 1 year with all these changes that are taking place. And we had a very good, frank discussion together about what's going on and what happened with Yvonne and how she feels about it. And if you, if you haven't been over to Rumble, pop over there, listen to the interview with Yvonne. I might play it for next one. I'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll see what happens. As I say, there's a few interviews I'm going to be doing up to next month anyway, so we'll see what happens. But a big thank you to everybody who has taken the time to actually tune in to the show tonight and have a listen to me gabble on for 2 hours, and a big thank you to Lisa for allocating her time to jump on and have a chat with me as well. And thanks to Lisa for being involved in some of the projects I've been doing. I think they've been going down well, so Lisa, a big thank you again for doing that.
Alan, just quickly, it's a pleasure, and I believe it's your born day next week, so happy born day to you, just saying.
Happy born day. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, birthday time again. It comes around so quick these days. Time goes very fast, yeah. There you go. Well, there you go. Another year. Thanks for that, Lisa. Okay, folks. Have a good one. Lisa, just stay with me there for a minute and we'll have a quick chat after this. But a big thank you to everybody for tuning in. Take care. Have a safe week, folks. If you have any information of interest, email me and contact us at circlewhitelight.com. And let me know. Otherwise, we'll see you in a month's time. You take care and bye bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.